that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
Go, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Let's go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
That is why fight fans love watching Amanda Ribas work.
And strawweight division, I'm back, and it's your respect.
Amanda Ribas!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I today, finally back together. We've both been traveling. I'm currently in Oklahoma City. And we have Amanda Ribas and Michael Ray will be joining us today. And it feels weird. I have not done any type of jiu-jitsu training in a little over a week. This is the longest I've gone because I've just been traveling. I was in Texas and now Oklahoma City, and I'm going back to Texas, and I'm home in about 4 days.
Why don't you rep on your wife a little bit? She with you?
She is, yeah, but I just, you know, she. You think?
Show her a little bit.
Yeah, she doesn't. I don't think I'm qualified to teach it, and she doesn't want to learn it.
Well, in that case, you shit out of luck.
You know? Yes, I am.
But, hey, last time we had Ray Longo replacing you, it's funny.
I love Ray. I wish I was on for him.
Hey, no, it was fun. But when it's ending, he's just like, yeah, thanks for letting me get a word. And I talked to him later that day. I go, Longo, what's the matter with you, man? You seemed a little – and, you know, listen, our guy lost, Pompos. He was over there for the you know, our Greek fighter. And he was in a bad mood for that because the guy lost and he feels that it wasn't – he didn't, you know, he didn't get to show his skill set. You know, he got
sure.
Kick in the first round, and next thing you know, the whole camp goes to shit.
Yeah.
So there's that. He said he did his podcast with John Anik and Kenny Florian, the Anik and Florian podcast. So yeah. He did that, and then he did that for like an hour, however long. It's the Longo minute that usually goes for an hour, and then he did that, and he stayed for our podcast.
Yeah.
Like, Longo, of course you're miserable. You know, next time spread that shit out.
Yeah, it's a lot. If you're not used to doing it, I did 3 hours this morning, and now I'll do this. But this is easy compared to 3 hours. This is just an hour chat with you. It's very easy.
Or, because of the company, I make it easy.
I was saying in spite of the company, but yeah, sure, we could say it like that.
They're just words.
Sure, it doesn't matter.
30 people this morning, Jimmy.
What, buddy?
30. See, I'm glad you're back, because when I tell you I taught the morning and you go, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I bring it up to Longo. He goes, oh, yo, he taught the morning. Oh, it's like, hey, dude, why you always got your sword out? Why are you always breaking my balls?
Well, you know, it's your relationship. That's your relationship.
It is our relationship. You're right. I like to attack him, though. I feel weird when he gives me compliments.
Sure, it's hard.
You know, Rose, it's funny, man, because at one point, and it's not, listen, this is a rough game. You know?
Sure.
But, you know, one second you're on top of the world and sure. Next second you're down two fights. It's just crazy. You know,
yeah.
And it happens. And next thing you know, Amanda Ribas wants to make it down three fights. That's what she wants.
Well, that as far as a fight, it was obviously not a very exciting fight. We all remember that. Split decision. And then she went up in weight. So, you know, it's going to happen once in a while. Sometimes I'm curious if that extra 10 pounds, if she felt it at all or if it didn't mean anything to her. You know, sometimes there's a little adjustment. Sometimes guys or women go to the next weight or they drop weight and they're on fire. And other times it takes a little adjustment.
Speaking of on fire, and someone who is not nearly on, not only is he not on fire right now, I'm not burning up, but it's like, I'm doing a little better than average. So it's like, I'm a little bit of fire. I mean, I'm trying to pat it out. Like,
sure.
You are like a little naked little caveman with a little loincloth over your peepee, and you're rubbing sticks together. Not a spark.
Are you talking about picks?
I'm not talking about all picks. God, that wasn't the best analogy when I was.
No, but you're not wrong. But, and I did see you're up by a full four. You're up by four. It's a long year, though, Matt. You're only up by four.
You could say up by four.
Sure.
And you did say that.
Yeah.
But what I want to say is, right now you got 5 wins.
Yeah.
So you pick 5 things, right, ones right.
And 11 losses.
11 losses is rough.
It is rough.
But listen, 24.5 points.
Yeah.
We give extra points for a round and a submission.
Sure.
Let's talk about myself. And what I like about it is the people can't see the faces that we use on this. Look at my face. Look. That's a big fat head smiling. Look at it. I think my head lost. When I lose weight, I think my head loses weight.
Look. Yeah, your head really looks like it came off the juice. Yeah.
Let me know. Look at that. Yeah. Look at that. That's the guy that knows he's up on the wins. Ah. Anyway. So, Jimmy, compared to your 5 wins, 11 myself, 9 wins.
Sure.
7 losses, 41 points. And listen, it's not all wins. I got my share of losses on.
Sure.
I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
But you know, feels good to be a winner.
Yeah, you don't want to be a braggart, which I like about you. Your humility is apparent.
I try to be humble.
Sure. And you
people
are.
People say to me, what's happening here? Oh, there's
Jake, I found it necessary to bring that up. We could have just checked.
Thank you, Jake. Now, Jake put all the stats on there. And again,
you're up by 16 and a half points, Matt. Up by 16 and a half points, and you have 4 less losses. You have a good 9-7 record, wow. And I have a 5-11 record. Right now, the kid has hit a rough streak.
I could pick him.
For now, yeah.
Feeling like Yanni the Greek. Listen. Producer, yeah. I'm feeling like Yanni the Greek.
Yeah.
Producer, are you putting up the name? Am I saying it right?
Yanni? You know who I'm looking forward to seeing fight besides this?
I'm sorry, then just leave that in. Leave this all in. I knew it was Yanni the Greek. That's who I'm like, except I don't bet. What were you going to say?
Not only is this a great main event, Amanda against Rose, but Carl Williams, Justin Taffa is a really, really good co-main, and Shabazian is fighting. He's on the the featured bout against AJ Dobson. This is a really great card. I love Billy Quarantillo. Who doesn't like watching him fight? He's second up. There's some really, really good fights on Saturday.
Wait, who did you say? Oh, the features, right? I thought you meant on the prelims.
No. I would say that's usually the main fight of the prelims. The features, I think the fight right before the co-main.
That's true.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot. I like Edmund.
I do too.
Shabazian.
Yeah, he was 10-0, but I want to say his first loss was to Brunson. I think he was 10-0, and then he came up against Derek Brunson. If I remember correctly, I have to go back and check his
record. Like Billy Quarantillo.
Quarantillo, yeah.
You know, he's fighting Yusuf Zalala. Good memory. It was Brunson. Oh,
I was about to look that up. Okay, yes.
You hear me?
Yeah. Well, I love Derek Brunson, so I remember he fought this up-and-coming kid who was trained by Ronda's striking coach. And really looked good. And you know, he lost, I want to say he lost 3 straight. I want to just check the record, Matt.
Check that record. Check it,
man. Or was it even 4 straight? But he's come back. He had lost 3 straight after he beat Tavares with a head kick. He lost to Hermanson, Imavov, Lungiambulu, and Brunson. And then he's lost to Anthony Hernandez after beating Lungiambulu with a TKO.
Well, look, I'm looking forward to the card. You know I love my Saturdays when there's fights on. You know what I want? Oh, yeah. Oh.
Wait, Matt, can I correct myself? He only beat Lung Yambulu. He didn't lose to him. I don't know why I said a head kick. Tavares was head kick. Okay, I apologize. I fucked that up. It's right in front of me. And I still fucked it up.
I want Ian Machado Gary versus Colby Covington. That's what the fuck I want. I want that fight. I do. And
Colby is very good at promoting.
I'll be rooting for Gary. Let's get Amanda Ribas in.
Yes.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
Exco, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience.
Acura wins Daytona.
And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Exco, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hi, Amanda.
Hello. Hello, Amanda.
Hi.
Main event. Main event. That's so exciting.
Yes, I am.
Versus a former champion. Even more exciting.
For sure. My dad was saying to me, if you want to be a legend, you need to win off one. And I'm ready for that, really. When he said that, this is my first time that I signed the poster of UFC. I was imagining my face there. And yesterday I signed and I was like, yeah, thank God.
Is this your first main event?
Yeah, my first main event.
What is the difference in like the feelings you have leading up to it with the press? And do you feel, people have different feelings their first main event. And a lot of times it's just the press obligations that you have to do. What are you noticing that's different for you?
You know what, it was good because my first fight in the UFC was in the beginning of the card, and then I was growing up step by step. So I think that maybe make me more adapted. But I did common event and then now is main event. So I think I'm not feeling pressure. I was just enjoying, you know? So it's a huge opportunity.
And not only that, you seem to handle pressure very well. Like when I look at your record, whenever I see a loss, I don't see two losses in a row. Like in other words, you went back and won. And then you lost by TKO to Macy Barber. You came back in your last win and you got a TKO. So that's not someone who's getting gun shy or not believing in himself after falling, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you feel after a loss? What is your mindset? Because you come back strong if something goes south.
Thank you for that. It is because since I know myself, I am in this world of competition, of fight. So I think when I lose something, I'm like, I don't want this feeling anymore. And I don't like that. I like to do a war, you know? I lose about for a cage to cage. I lose, but I won a bonus. And then against Macy Barber, the fight was doing really well. And then TKO. But my last fight was really good. I think it was good.
And you bounced back and forth between strawweight and flyweight. Is that just according to who you feel like fighting? Or what goes into the decision on what weight you're fighting at? Do you go through certain physical feelings? Or is it basically just who your opponents are going to be?
It's more who what opponent's going to be, because I study a lot the rankings, and always after a fight, me and my dad, we study and we offer to the UFC some names because I think they have a lot of fighters to work. So I think when I offer some names to them, it's more easy for me to fight. And I like to fight in both divisions because of that. I have more options to fight.
Yeah, I guess so. When you have two divisions to, and you see a lot of people, like the first thing O'Malley did after he won the bantamweight is he calls out somebody in a featherweight. Like people just want to have double the amount of fights that they can take. Is there any difference for you in cutting the weight and making the weight and how you feel comfortable before the fight?
I don't like too much to cut the weight, but it's good because I feel me more aggressive because I don't like too much to cut weight. And when I need to gain weight, it's good because I feel me more strong. So this is what I feel the difference.
Now, how do you feel? Does it make a difference? And does any of your trainers tell you, hey, this is a former champion, but she's coming off two losses. She's got her back against the cage now. Like, I mean, does that mean anything to it? Like, in other words, she's not on a 5-fight winning streak. She's down a couple. Does it make her more dangerous? Does it mean that she's slipping? Did you have any talks like that with your coaches?
No, we talk like this. We need to be prepared for the best Rose Namajunas ever. And is what I'm training, looking for this, because I know she was a champion and it is really good. So I need to be prepared for a champion. And I'm ready for that.
When I think about the fight, it's a very, on paper, it's very exciting because from watching both of you for so long, you're both very well-rounded. It's not like when she was fighting Carla, we're like, oh, she has to keep it up. And I see this. I mean, you're both dangerous, not only on your feet, but top and bottom jiu-jitsu wise. So as a jiu-jitsu guy, I'm excited about it. I mean, I there could be some nice scrambles in there, you know? I'm just talking as a fan right now.
Yeah.
I am prepared for a war. You know, they ask sometimes, oh, it will be more stand up or on the ground. I mean, I'm ready for a war because she's a warrior. I am too. So let's see.
And she is really good everywhere. And I don't think she's had two. I'm looking back. Oh, she's had two losses once. And that was, again, 10 years ago. And then she wound up coming back and looking good. Do you think that from what you saw in her last fight with Farrow, did you think that the jumping up to flyweight had any effect on her? What did you think of her at a heavier weight?
Maybe she feel more heavy. Maybe. I don't know. It's hard sometimes to know what the fighter is feeling because there is a day the fighter is not in 100%, so maybe she feel more heavy.
Now, the week of the fight, you can't just have your mind totally just, I mean, I know you're doing so much press. Mm-hmm. You get any, how do you escape a little bit? Do you, like, read some books, some got audio books, or you're watching a show? What do you do to get your mind a little bit more chill? And not just fight, fight, fight. You can't just watch the movie 300. You can't just be in that mode. You try to get your mind a little relaxed somehow the week of the fight.
Yes, I will show you.
Oh, interesting.
Can we?
Let's see what this is.
I made the list. What I will eat after my fight. So there is, I always made a list with chocolate and restaurants.
You keep the chocolate there?
Yes. And I watch a lot of, I like to watch comedy movies. Yeah, but the list is always when I want to, I don't know, I will do something. Thinking too much about the fight. Okay, let me see what restaurant I will eat. And I see.
So you just leave the chocolate there and kind of look at it and go, all right, after the fight, I can have that.
Yes, I do that.
And what restaurant are you looking at? Like what kind of food is the first thing you're going to eat after the fight?
Oh, my last fight here, I was walking on the streets and I feel the taste of the Buddy Valastro pizza. You believe that? In front, I forgot the name of the hotel. And I was like, I need to eat this pizza. And so I will go there. It is small place, but I saw him. I need this pizza, so I will go there. And I saw a restaurant that if you can't eat at all, they I don't know if they tap you. You put a clothes, different clothes. Yeah, I forgot the name. It is really a crazy restaurant. I want to go there too.
I was reading here that you were just in Italy eating great Italian food, and you post about that on your social media. I am yet. I've been around the world, you know, but I have never been to Italy. I'm dying to go there just for the pizza and the pasta. I'll check out the Colosseum when I'm there, but that's what I want to do. How was the food there? And by the way, did
you check out the Colosseum? Delicious. Pistachio. Oh my goodness, there is, and I did a class to learn how to cook a pizza and tiramisu, that sweet. Oh my goodness, was really fun because I'm not good cooker, so the chef was like, oh, but was amazing. You need to go there, you guys need to go there, it's an amazing place.
I've been to Rome and to Venice. The food was really good. It feels clean too. It doesn't feel like you're eating as fattening because for some reason, like it feels very processed in America compared to the way it did in Italy. So I didn't feel like I was eating as bad as I probably was. How long do you give yourself to eat badly after a fight? Like, say you have this fight with Rose on Saturday. How do you give yourself 2 days or a week or before you could just kind of go crazy? How long?
How long I was thinking and do the travel.
No. Like how many days, like if you win your fight or after your fight, you're going to go eat the chocolate. How many days do you let yourself eat whatever you want?
Because my body is good. So I try to eat bad foods all week.
A week.
I eat a lot. So like in the Italy, I did it with my sister. And she was making all the schedule for the travel. So we'd be there 1 week. And after that, I was eating more clean. But at Saturday and Sunday, I eat bad food.
I used to eat a lot. Especially when I would cut the weight. After a fight, I'd eat a lot. And I'd be like, I'm not even enjoying it because my belly's so small. And then I'd make myself just keep eating. And then I'm like, wow, I'm just using the bathroom and I'm still in shape, and I keep eating like that, and I'm like, wow, maybe I'm just not going to get fat anymore. And then I just wake up fat after like a couple of weeks. So I don't think that's going to happen to you, but that was me. And I was always like, wow, I'm still in shape and I'm eating anything I want. And then I'd be a little fatty, and then Dana would see me and make fun of me. I don't know. But I do, it does feel good.
Maybe it's the mirror. We don't know. Maybe.
Oh, the mirror is broken. Yeah, the mirror is broken.
It wasn't that I was literally a fatty, but yeah. No.
So you like, so the extra 10 pounds, Amanda, fighting at 125 does give you a little more breathing room. Afterwards, you can almost enjoy your wins or your time after a fight a little more because that's, you know, it's 10 less pounds you're going to have to shed.
Yeah, but I am too much systematic, I can say like this. When I sign the contract, I start to do always like just at the fight. So I love eat, but diet. Since the time that I signed the contract, I made a list what I will do after fight, since the school or something, institute or something about the gym. Or I will put more, I forgot the name of this. I will put more on my here after the fight. Yes, I schedule all my life just for after fight.
Right. That's very good. That's great discipline to say. I have no discipline. So if I see it, I just shove it into my fat mouth. I like the fact that you're able to go, you know, I'll look at that after the fight, and it motivates you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Amanda, I was talking about your jiu-jitsu before and your judo. I love your judo also. Do you ever think, you know, not when you're retired, there's people that do it now. You see them taking some, like on UFC Fight Pass, some grappling matches. Do you ever think about doing that in the off season or no? You just want to cash it on your MMA?
Yes, I want to do someday. When I was in doping, I did, I think, ABI in California. I love it. Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. So, yes, I definitely think I can do it some.
That's fun. Oh, good, good. I would enjoy watching that. Awesome.
Thank you.
Don't you get afraid though? Do you get afraid of doing a tournament and getting hurt and it affecting your fight schedule?
I don't think so. Because for me, the training is harder than competition.
For me. That's the biggest thing. You know what it is? And I said this before, and people said it. It's not really the fight that you can't handle as you get older. It's the camps leading up to the fight. I mean, shoot, those are rough. It's hard when you're healthy and young like Amanda to get there in one piece because of the hard training. You put another decade on that when you guys start getting towards 40. Hey, man, it's that much harder to get there in one piece, you know?
Because it's different when we train just for a hobby and train for be athlete, a real athlete. It's totally different. We put our body 100% all day. So it is more painful.
That's the reason, one of the reasons why I never took a fight like off the couch. I never took something on short notice. Because I was always so, not afraid of anybody, but afraid of getting tired. And I know there's a huge difference between being in shape and training shape in the academy and, you know, your hobby training shape and whatever, your day-to-day shape and fight ready, you know, like peaking at that right time. So for me, that was never an option. I would be too paranoid, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Is that something that happens where you guys train and you peak too early, or you peak a few days before the fight, or you're not at the peak yet if you don't do it right?
That's all depends about the schedule of the preparation of the coaches. Because of that, our team is always talking, how is Aman? They treat me as a product, you know?
Yeah,
product?
Yeah.
Amanda Ribas. Amandinha is different than Amanda Ribas. How is Amanda today? Amanda today at the conditioner, it's not really well. So let's go see the other trainer how she will do on her periods, because women, there is this too. And when it's a period, is easy to hurt because our ligaments is more smooth. I don't know how to say this. Yeah, there is a lot of things that. Thank God my team talk, and they want the best thing for Amanda Ribas.
Have you ever had a fight where you didn't get a good night's sleep the night before?
Bad night? No, because I love sleep too. If I sit here and close the eyes, I will sleep. But I already did with a lot of pains in the leg, like heavy legs. I don't know if you guys feel that, like you wake up but the legs is heavy. So we did an adjustment to be more fast, and was not too good. I fight good. I don't remember what fight was, but I remember the warm up was like heavy, and mindset. And then we did a lot of mindset to get ready. And I don't remember what fight was, and I think it was good.
You think you won. And by heavy legs, do you mean they're just sluggish or actually sore from camp?
What?
When you say heavy legs, do you mean that you were a little sluggish or slow, or that you were in pain?
Yeah, no, slow. Like,
okay.
Slow, yeah, like this. Maybe I ate too much. Maybe. My dad.
This is a huge fight. Would you say that this, if you beat Rose, would you consider this your biggest win to date?
For sure. Because before I was a fan of her, she was a star, a champ. So my first time fighting against a champ.
Yeah. And you know, she's dangerous everywhere. She does everything really well. And it'll be interesting to see how she responds. To, like Matt said, back up against the cage, two losses. A lot of times that really brings out the best in somebody. So what a great fight. Amanda, good luck and congratulations on the main event. Everyone is excited for this fight, and I'm excited to see what happens for both of you after. So have a great fight.
Yeah, Amanda. All our best.
Always nice talking to you. All right, take care. Bye.
Good energy.
That? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
X-Go, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
X-Go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Right? Always so bubbly.
Always in a good mood. And I wish we could talk to Rose before this one, too. I'd love to see how she's doing. Sometimes Rose gets into that, like, where she's just no fucking around. It's all business. So she might be like that leading up to this one, just kind of getting her head right and, you know, really wanting to. I think she's going to be very, very dangerous because her with two losses, I'm sure she's hyper-focused on this fight.
Soon we have Michael Ray, country music artist. He's 35 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, 35. What were you doing at 35?
Stand up. I mean, I'm 20 years ago, so it was, I was doing, I just started on XM, Sirius nice. XM. It was XM back then with Opie and Anthony.
Nice.
And when you were 30, what were you doing when you were 34?
34, I threw Matt Hughes on his head.
How about when you were 36?
36, I was getting punched in the head by Chris Lytle.
All right.
And I got this scar. Look at that scar. You see that scar?
Yeah.
That's 50 stitches.
Yeah.
Yeah. So soon we're going to, at 35, I was knocking out Frank fucking Trish. So stop bringing it up. You embarrass my ass.
Do you like that memory?
It's one of my favorite memories.
No, I know. I enjoy how much you love it.
I like that probably more than George because I like George. George is bigger because George was the better fighter.
George is GSP. I mean, come on. It's a massive. You're the last guy to beat him.
I remember after I humbled Frank Trigg, he was doing a podcast. He asked for Ally Aquinta's number, and I gave it to him. He said, thank you. Al does the podcast. And before he goes, Frank Trigg goes, oh, tell that keg of a person I said hello. Tell your buddy. Like, I'm a keg. I'm a fat guy. This, wow. Obviously, this was before.
Yeah. I can't hear it because you have your speaker set a certain way, but I see.
Oh, you heard me smacking?
I did see it.
I smacked my abs. So anyway, enough of that.
By the way, Matt, I am looking. Wow, that is a lot of green.
It's a lot of green, bro.
With only the last pink. Is 2007.
Wait, hold on.
Wow. The last time GSP lost was to you. And then he fought 10 years after that without a loss.
Listen to me. Stop it.
Bisping, Hendricks, Diaz, Carlos Conda, Jake Shields. I mean, Koscheck, Dan Hardy, Thiago Alves. Really, BJ. I mean, some fucking incredible.
He beat some savage. He also beat me.
Yeah, he did. But I mean, you know, you beat him.
You know, this is the thing. I like to stay humble.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But if I won that second rematch, I wouldn't be humble. I'd say, fuck everybody. I'm the best ever.
Holy, I understand. I wouldn't blame you.
I would not say that. Let's look at the card this weekend before Michael Ray comes on. Come on.
Okay. And
then every time that name, it reminds me of the movie Trading Places when, you know, Eddie Murphy's making some money and they did that. It's an old movie. People that have never seen Trading Places, they should.
1982, I believe.
Yes. But Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy.
And Jamie Lee Curtis.
You know, in the beginning, he was I don't know if he was homeless. He was a homeless guy. And he was like a con man type thing, you know?
Yes.
And then these rich old guys are like, they made a bet for a dollar that they could make anybody the head of a company, right?
Something Mortimer, like that. What was their names? Mortimer and
Randolph. Randolph.
Good memory. Randolph and Mortimer. I don't remember their last names.
Let's ask Michael Ray if he's seen Trading Places. So yes. Anyway, at one point he goes to his bedroom and there's a girl in there and she's topless. She's like, I've been waiting for you, Michael Ray. But it's not Michael Ray. I think it's something else. But it reminds me of Michael Ray. Said the name.
It was 83. I was wrong. And by the way, do you remember Maurice Beeks, the guy who was bringing them the crop report?
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes, I do. Oh, wait, do we hear him?
Can you hear me? Yes. Yes, sir. We can hear you. How are you?
Yeah. Yep.
How are you, Michael Ray?
I'm good, man. How y'all doing?
Very good.
Doing very good. We're talking some fights. You're friends with several UFC fighters.
Yeah, man, I am. I was just with Hendo last week at his gym. You know, he does those fights every 3 months, and we've always tried to plan it. Maybe I'd go see the national anthem. I've always wanted to see him. I love the amateur fights, man, to see the guys and the girls that are trying to get to that next level. You know, it's really cool.
I did not know that Dan Henderson, you're talking about Dan Henderson, right? Mm-hmm. I know there's other, that's Hendo. I mean, I know there's Ben Henderson too. I don't know if anybody called him Hendo, but he does. I didn't know he's a promoter.
Wait, he does it there at his gym.
Are they smokers or they're just amateur fights? That's interesting.
Amateur fights. And they got it was really cool, man. He has his gym, they move all the weights and everything and put vendors in there and chairs. And I think there was about 600-700 people, I think.
Oh wow, packed it.
Mendez and Tito.
Oh, look at that. How's Tito to hang out with?
He's great, man. That was my first time. I've known Mendez for a little while, and we've been buddies. And him and Clay Guida do the Fins and Feathers, hunting and fishing. And me and Hendo and Mendez are going on that tuna trip again this year in June. But that was my first time getting to hang with Tito. Dude, I didn't realize as great of a fighter as Tito Ortiz is, he could literally be a fishing guide.
Like, he loves him. He's good at it, right?
Sure.
Yeah, man, dude. It was. He told me, he's like, man, growing up in Huntington, dude, I would just be 12 years old, 13 years old, you know, fishing off the pier, helping the guys on the boats. I mean, he was talking to me. I grew up in Florida, so I think he thought our knowledge was the same. And I'm like, bro, you're way above my level, dude. Like, he's good.
When you go out like that, how long do you go out on the boat for? And how long do you, when you do one of these events, how long are you gone for?
I think it's three or four days, and it's bluefin tuna we're catching. We caught some yellowfin too, and they got a chef on the boat, and he would take the yellowfin and just right there make sushi and all. I mean, it was just as fresh as it could get, and Tito just opened up a restaurant down in Florida called Tito's Cantina, and so he's cooking with the chef. I mean, Tito was like he could have been the captain of the boat.
Where did he open up a place? Tito's Cantina? Where is that? Man,
it's down in Florida. I'm trying to remember where they moved to. I can't remember exactly where it is. It's North Florida, maybe. But yeah, man, he just opened it up about 6-7 months ago, maybe. Maybe
he Cape Coral? Cape Coral? Cape Coral?
Yeah, I think that sounds familiar, yeah.
That's wild. I did not know that.
Yeah, man.
You know what his kryptonite is? I'm not talking about fighting. I'm talking about you. Whatever you do, I know you're a singer. Don't bring a mic around him. Don't bring a mic around him. He's not. Listen, he's a dangerous man, and he might be dangerous in a kitchen, and he might be dangerous with a fishing pole. But holy shit! There's a clip of him. One time, there's a clip of him going, I want to stay healthy. I want to outlive my children. I'm like, what the fuck? 100%. You want to outlive your children? That's fucking just odd. But I'm sure he mixed that up.
Yeah.
I just love him with a mic.
Remember back in the day when Brock Lesnar won that one fight and he instead of Bud Light, he said Coors Light.
And he apologized. He had to apologize for that because he was shitting on the sponsors. And, in wrestling, they would kind of just – but Dana was like, no, not – you can't do that. And he actually had to apologize to Bud Light.
Yeah. I'm sure in those moments, man, after those fights that y'all are in, I mean, your adrenaline's flowing. You want to, you know, I mean, you're just saying whatever's coming to mind, you know.
Well, I thought he said fuck. Didn't he say fuck Bud Light? And he didn't just mix it up. He said something about the sponsor, like that was like, because I think he preferred Coors.
Go home, get on top of his wife, and drink a Coors Light, but Bud Light was the sponsor. Oh.
Coors Light, and who wants a Coors Light is like piss. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a big beer drinker, but Coors Light's not the best, right? Also, he's like, wait, I'm sponsored by Coors Light. No, holy fucking
hell. Now, you like to, you obviously watch a lot of fights. Is there, and I sometimes have to work on a Saturday. Is there anything worse than when there's a great card and you know you got a gig on Saturday and you have to avoid social media? It sucks, right?
I don't get on it. Because when we're on the road, you know, I might not be going on till like 10, and that's when the fights, the main fights are, whatever. So we'll watch as far as we can up. I mean, I'm talking about till damn near the entrance music's going on, and then I tell my band, I'm like, do not say nothing. We're going to get back in. We're going to watch everything. We got a system set up because the buses are to rent them on the TV, you know, the buses, we rent the buses. So it's a company. So it's like if a bar rents the fight. So it goes from $100 to whatever a bar would have to, you know, do it. So we rent it on my drummers. We rent it and wire it through his computer to the TV. So it's a whole system that we got down. But yeah, it's especially when you know it's going to be just one of those bangers, you know, these guys are going to stand up and just go at it. You're like, I can't, we're going to go play the show. And the whole time I'm like trying to get back to the TV.
You're literally thinking about, you know, it's 10:05, the main event just started, the main card just started. Do you know what Jack Nicholson used to do? He was such a Lakers fan. And I heard that, you know, again, in the 80s when he was doing films or in the 70s, they were in the playoffs. So they would fly a tape. They would tape the game and fly it to him so he could watch the game on a VCR tape. It would be rewound to the beginning. You, of course, no one could. Again, it's before social media. All you had to do is avoid the radio. You didn't have to avoid much. And that's how he would watch the games, too. Nobody wants to see a sporting event spoiled when we have to work.
We're still wiring the computer to the TV.
Yeah, I just I go back into Fight Pass and watch it. And the worst is when you turn it on and it goes to live. Like you hit the wrong button and you go to live and you see like I'm in the fourth round of the main event. Fuck, like I hit it wrong.
Me, I'll check the Instagram and I'll see like Big Boy with his arms up. I'm like, no, fuck.
I've done that too. Yeah,
I make mistakes with that.
Yeah,
you have a new single out. That's what we're hearing.
Yeah, man. So we've been, you know, the way the music business is changing as far as, you know, no one's buying CDs anymore. And so radio sometimes can take a little bit of time to get a single up the charts and gets number one or wherever it's going to peak at. So now we're just trying to put out as much music as possible. So we just released a song called Nothing Else. 2 weeks from now, we're going to release another one. 4 weeks after that, release another one, get back in the studio and just continue about a song every 4 to 6 weeks and see where the fans are gravitating towards. And then we'll take that song to radio.
Oh, wow. So everything is different for you guys now, too, like how you promote and how you know what's doing well. What do you think is the place people hear you the most? Is it Spotify, which I know pays poorly, or is it the radio, or where's for you guys the strongest place, you think?
Radio's always been really strong for me, but, you know, just everybody, you know, now your phone connects right to your car, you know, so you're on your playlist, you're already listening to it, so... We have a big Spotify following. Apple Music's been really great to us. Amazon Music's been really great to us. So radio is still, I think, where people go to. Yeah, I think people are discovering artists differently, but song-wise, I think you still listen to your radio station to go, okay, that's the, you know, this is the new guy or the new song from somebody that's been on it for a while.
Do you have a system, like a method of writing your music? I mean, you like to be in the wilderness. Do you like to be in your hot tub? I mean, do you have like a certain time that or it is something just hit your head and you just start writing it? How does the process?
Man, it's different. You know, what I like to do, because we're on the road so much, you know, you only get really a couple of days off a week. And during that, you know, there's interviews, there's meetings, there's management stuff. There's a lot of stuff. So we do like writer's camp where like we'll get songwriters that I write well with or you know, say I'm needing like more tempos or more of this or whatever, we'll get these writers together. And we just did one in Tybee Island, which is a place off of Savannah, Georgia. And So me and a few buddies of mine went, and we just hunkered down in this beach house and wrote songs for 4 days, man. And it's fun that way, because when you're in town, you know, you're writing, but everybody's got their lives too, you know? So it's like, if someone's got kids or something like that, they got to, you know, you're kind of time limited on time sometimes, but when you're on a writer's camp like that, man, we'll write all night, you know, it's just whatever, you know, as much as it's hitting us. And when you hit those, yeah, there we are. Yeah, that's my buddy Rotundo in the camouflage pants. I don't know if he's ever hunted a day in his life, but we love him. Oh, he's going to love this. So we go to Tybee Island, and literally everything on there on the island is hot dogs. And so he orders this sandwich here, and they call it a booty roll, and he thought it was something different. And I came back. He was smoking a cigarette, and he came back, and he goes, "Why is it a goddamn hot dog again?" He said, "We ate more hot dogs in 4 days, I think, than we ever have."
Now, it's one of those things too, where you guys know what you're going there for. Being creative is can be tough at times if you have no ideas. Which, what do you do to shake yourself out of a time? I'm very bad at sitting down and going, "Okay, write something." It has to kind of happens for you at night a lot when I'm not really looking for it. How does it work for you?
Same, man. You know, I think too, it goes for me, it's always kind of been ebb and flow. It's like sometimes I'm feeling it, and then sometimes we're on tour and I'm focused on tour and shows, and you know, we're constantly changing stuff in the set. You know, sometimes some things work, you know, in rehearsals, and you go to a live show and kind of that moment you kind of dulled the crowd out, we need to change this, and so you're always saying that way. So for me, I think it just kind of hits me sometimes, and when it does, I'm just right. I got a whole, you know, the notes app in your phone. I got a bunch of just random titles or random things, or sometimes someone will say something and I'm like, "Oh, that's a great line," you know, or whatever. And so, but on those writers camps, man, I feel like you kind of just shut yourself away, you know, and you're really not on your phone. You're just focused on writing. And when you get in that, when you get on one and you're like, you crush the song and then you crush another one, it's just like an addiction. You're like, "Let's keep going, dude." You know, we're all firing on all cylinders, man. Let's not slow down. Let's keep this train going. So those writers camps have been really benefit for me.
Have you ever had it where like you just in one of those headspaces and everybody has great ideas but you? Like that would drive me. Like everyone's got these brilliant ideas and you fire one out and they're like, "Oh."
Yeah. I'm like, "I'll go get sandwiches. Y'all just keep writing."
Jimmy, you should do that with your comedian buddies.
Now, we don't do it. Once in a while, you'll talk something through. So I'm not good at writing that way, though. I'm not a good collaborator. Like I'm a good email collaborator, but like, okay, I'm not good at sitting in the room and throwing ideas out and having them thrown. I'm good at looking it on paper, writing it out, and then sending it to somebody. You're not afraid of your ideas being bad?
No, man. You know, I think that kind of goes away once you start writing, especially when you start writing with like your heroes or guys that you've looked up to, you know, and then they'll you know, you just kind of start brainstorming and you realize that, you know, don't be scared to say some stupid shit, because you honestly don't know what might spark something for this other guy, you know, and it's kind of like setting up your coaches, you know. It's like you want to, this guy, you know, I know my buddy Josh Phillips is fast in lyrics and melody, you know, and I know, you know, my buddy Michael Tyler is the same, but his melodies are, you know, he just hears melodies different than I do. So you guys kind of start placing those people together and you become buddies with them, and they've already seen you do stupid shit, so you're not worried about saying some stupid shit.
I mean, Michael, where can we hear this new where can everybody check this out, this new single?
It's all over, man. It's in it's on iTunes, it's on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Music. So it's called Nothing Else is a brand new one.
Nothing Else.
And right. when you release a song or an album, you said songs now, how long does it take you to get comfortable with the fact, like, hey, people like this? Like, it's always scary to put something new out. I mean, anytime we put a new thing out, how are people going to respond to it? And what is your level where you're like, "Oh, okay, this is doing well"?
Man, what's been benefit for us is, you know, with Nothing Else, what kind of changed it, what made us have to kind of rush to put it out. We weren't planning on putting it out when we did, but we threw it on TikTok and immediately got like 600 or 500 something thousand views and like 30,000 likes. And then I posted another video and it was the same way and just kept going. And so I was like, "Guys, we got to strike while the iron's hot," you know? And I think that's a cool thing now with social media is being able to, because when, you know, when you're writing and you're recording, it's all, you know, you're writing in a room or maybe at a camp or whatever, but then you record in the studio. The only people that's really heard this song is your team, you know? So we're all like, we think we know hits, but it's like when you're writing jokes, you know what I mean? You really don't know how it's going to go over till you get in front of a crowd and perform it. And so, sure, with the social media now, it's like, oh, they're loving this. Okay, let's double down on this, you know. And I think, and not every song's going to do that, you know. Some songs might not connect the way you think so. But I think the cool part of it now is it's kind of putting the power back in the fans' hands of what they want to hear, you know, and not so much of us guessing kind of what we think is going to work.
And that's funny. You said, I was kind of thinking that, because social media is toxic and it sucks. But the thing that it's really great for is there's no executives that are going to make decisions on what you want to do. If you guys write a song and you're like, we like this, there's no label that has to tell you. You can just put it out, and then right. fans will tell you if they respond to it. It's really, you kind of live and die on your own decisions, as opposed to, you know, 500 people above you making decisions for you that sometimes you wouldn't agree with.
Right. Yeah, absolutely, man. It puts it in the fans' hands, and that's why we're all doing this. You know, it's to create music that hopefully they connect to and make memories with, and a song that sticks with them for the rest of their life.
Is there certain songs that you thought would connect and they didn't, and then others that really did and it surprised you just as well?
Yeah, man.
That might be a weird question, but
No, I have a song called Holy Water, and you know, thank God I've had great luck at radio and had number ones and no song of mine until Holy Water. Every song was top, you know, top 20, top 15, top 10, or number one, you know. And so Holy Water, we're like, man, this is just a swamp. You know, I never really done anything like this. It's a story about this old church, and this preacher was running moonshine through it. It's just a cool story song, kind of like Old Red that Blake Shelton had back in the day. And it didn't connect what we thought it would at radio. But when we play it live, they're singing every word to it. So it's a weird thing. You know what I mean? It's like, fans love the song, and sometimes, you know, a song might not stay on the charts as long as it should to really get that connection. Maybe, I don't know, but it's funny, man. Like, I thought that was a no-brainer, you know, but live, it's huge. It's our second song. Everybody's singing every word to it. But the radio, I think it died at like 30, you know.
That's strange. That's weird. That's like almost the equivalent of a cult classic that never, it didn't, nobody really connected with it in theaters, and then it finds a home. Maybe it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden you have an audience. You're like, wow, I didn't know I had this audience for this, these many fans that like this song, but they know the words. That's interesting. Yep.
Yeah, man. When you start going down, a guy at my label, I'm signed at Warner Brothers, and a guy at my label pulled up, you know, cause we always look, it's like, man, you got to get the number one, you know, you got to get this. And it's like, man, when you pull up like Eric Church or all these other artists, and some of their biggest songs, excuse me, weren't number one songs. You know, some of Eric's biggest live songs are songs that died in the 20s or 30s. You know, obviously he's got a bunch of massive hits.
Yeah.
But like Boots, there's a couple other ones of his. And we just pulled up a list of these big artists that are playing stadiums and arenas and where I'm trying to get to. And it's like, man, these songs that, you know, he plays these boots and 40,000 people have their boots in the air. You know, and it's like on radio, it's not technically was a radio hit, but the dude's putting 40,000 asses in seats and they're screaming every word to it. So to me, that's a hit, you know.
Yeah,
100%. That's wild, man. Very cool.
Yeah. And also, by the way, we should mention that you are on tour. And it's michaelraymusic.com if people want information. But you're going to be in a couple of gigs in Florida, Indiana, Chicago, then back to Tampa Bay, California, Idaho. You're all over. Kind of bounce California, then you go to Idaho, Washington, then back to San Diego, Sacramento. You have some very, very creative routing. You have a lot of back and forth, a lot of places.
we always joke, like our agent's just like this. You know, just see where it sticks. You know, I go, hey man, we'll go where the people are, dude.
I hate flying in between gigs. Like I want to do one, fly in, then kind of drive in between them, and then there's nothing worse than getting on a plane and you're late. Have you ever missed a gig due to travel?
Almost. And here lately, dude, the airlines have been such shit, man. Yeah. Like we almost missed one in Pennsylvania not long ago. We do these radio shows for the radio stations. It's like acoustic, four artists on stage, like a guitar pool. They're real fun, but dude, we're literally about to board, right? The plane is there. I'm sitting there with my ticket, you know, about to board on, and the dude just comes up and goes, flight's canceled. There was some water in the belly of the plane. And I'm like, there's only one flight that goes into Scranton, Pennsylvania. You know what I mean? Like, and it's this one. So we had to fly into another city, like 2 hours, rent a car, and get there. Like, I think we got there like an hour before the show started, pretty much like take a poor man's shower in the sink, throw on a shirt, do the meet on stage, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes those are just too close. Those are too close for comfort, but I guess once in a while you got them.
Yeah, I prefer to fly in the night before, that way, just in case if there's any issues, it's worth the extra hotel room or whatever, just to make sure you're there and you get a night, you know, you get a night's sleep in there and you're not rushing, you know, and it just takes, it eliminates any bullshit that might happen, you know?
Hell yeah. All right, Jimmy, we don't hear you, Jimmy. What'd you do?
Sorry, did I hit the button? Oh, yeah. I don't know why I had my mute button on my mic. Okay.
Egg that man.
All right, well, Michael, look, good luck with Nothing Else and also with the tour.
Thank you.
And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how well this does. And I would love to come see you live if you're anywhere near New York.
Man, y'all got to come out to a show sometime. Where do you live at?
We're both in New York. Matt's in Long Island. I'm in Manhattan.
Oh, okay. Hell yeah, man. Awesome. Awesome. Right. Man. Yeah, we're there, man. Y'all got to come on out. Dude, Matt, I laughed my ass off the last time you were on Rogan, dude.
Man, thanks. I'm going back on in a couple of weeks.
Dude, I was driving and you had me fucking in tears, bro. I was dying, man. Y'all's banter back and forth is just great, man. I've been meaning to tell you that.
Oh, that's so nice, man. Thank you, Michael Ray. I appreciate that, dude. And congrats on everything. I can't wait to hear the single.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you guys, man. Always good hanging with y'all.
All right. Mike, good talking to you. I'll talk to you again, all right?
Yes, sir. See you guys.
Thank you, Michael Ray.
Yeah, Michael. Nice.
Yeah.
Like, why? Well, you know what I like? I like compliments.
They are nice. Sure.
You know, I like that. You're Matt, you're so funny. I'm not a comedian, but you know what? I could be silly.
You can't be.
It's never too late, Jimmy. No, it is too late. I don't want
it. It is too late for a lot of people.
Too late. It is. Finished. And speaking of late, it's late in the show. Let's do a couple of picks. You know what that gives you, Jimmy? Gives you hope. It gives you hope. Come on, my little Jimmy Bird. Make a nice pick.
We can do the same amount of picks because we are at the same both have the same amount of fights. Now let's go with the do you want to go with AJ Dobson against Shabazzio? You want to do those three?
All right, I like that. I like your style. Listen. Little bird first. Guy, what do you want?
Shabazzian has lost. I want to say it's 4 out of 5. At one point, he had dropped 3. He was 10-0, then went to 10-3, and then won, and then lost. So I'm going to assume that he has righted the ship. I'm going to take Shabazzian. I'll take him by a decision over Dobson.
I'm going to take Shabazzian too. I'm going to take Shabazzian. I know. I'm going to be on your last nerve today. I'm going
nuts. I don't mind it.
Dude, is this normal?
I couldn't hear you.
I'm just being silly. Jimmy.
Justin Taffa.
Hey, hold on. What are you doing?
Oh, sorry.
You're yours first. Go ahead. I didn't say nothing yet.
What do you mean?
I didn't make my pick.
For what? Oh, I thought you were picking Shabazzian.
By submission.
Oh, okay. All right.
Second
well, I'm
round
my decision.
Submission.
Okay.
Second round submission. Come on, Edmund. Make me proud.
I am looking right now at
Justin Taffa versus Carl Williams.
Yeah. Yeah. Carl Williams is a dangerous guy.
Yeah, man.
You're
sleeping on Taffa.
I'm going to take Taffa. I take Justin Taffa.
Interesting. Very interesting.
And I take him by second round stoppage.
Okay. I'm assuming rear naked choke. No, I'm only kidding. What do you think? A knockout?
Yeah, I think he's a fist stoppage.
I believe that Carl Williams will get a stoppage TKO in the third round. You hear me?
Awesome. Yes.
Oh, no, I take it back.
Okay.
The first round.
First round stoppage, Carl Williams. Okay. Now.
Oh, dun, 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 dun. I know you can't pick against Rose. I know it.
Hibas Namajunas. No, I would not pick against Rose. If I really thought she would lose, I could say I think she's going to lose. But I don't. I mean, Hibas is looked great. But again, Rose having two losses, they always seem to find a way. She wins big fights. And again, split decision, and then the decision going up in that Esparza fight was not a great fight for either one of them. And then the decision after going up to Furo. I'm going to take Rose by decision. I think she finds a way to win this. I think you're going to see a very good version of Rose. Maybe the extra 10 pounds made her move slightly differently in that last fight. I don't know, but I take Rose.
All right, you know what? I'll take Amanda Hibas by decision.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
You're picking up what I am putting down for you, sir.
Yeah.
You're all right. It'll be...
Yes, it is five rounds.
I'm going five rounds. Hey.
Oh.
Listen, man, she was basically born on the mat. Do you understand? Her father had her training at an early age. So you're trying to tell me you think she's afraid of going five rounds?
No, but Rose has gone. Hold on. Let me see here.
She's done a few of those. I'm going to say she went five rounds three times.
I'm going to say you might be right, Matt. I'm going to say four. I'm going to guess four.
No, are you guessing or are you looking something up?
Three. No, you're right. Actually, three. I thought Janjacek. I knew Janjacek.
That with this.
Are you pointing at your head?
I'm pointing at my head.
Yes.
Oh, fuck. Four times. I'm wrong. Oh, all right. Thanks, Jake.
Wait, was I right? I was wrong?
I don't know.
He's right. I was actually right. Wait.
Well, no, I was right. Wrong.
You know what? Paige Van Zandt. I did not see the Paige Van Zandt one. It was Van Zandt, Zhang Weili, Esparza, of course, and the other one was Janjacek. Yeah, okay. So I was correct. I guessed correct with this.
Well, I'm going to say my bad. Jimmy, what do you want to promote? Listen, let's promote the fights, first of all.
The fights will be on. Hibas versus Nama Yunus. Prelims are 7 o'clock this Saturday on ESPN Plus. Main card 10 p.m. on ESPN and ESPN Plus. Opening fight is Mick Parkin against Muhammad Usman at heavyweight. A great opening fight at 7 p.m. And here's what I'd like to promote, Matt. I am in Oklahoma City this Friday night. This Saturday, I will be in Dallas, Texas. This Sunday, I will be in Houston, Texas. And Nikki and I have a new video up. It's called My Wife Is Gone. She had gone away, and I went a little crazy midlife crisis-ish. And it's a vlog style, not a podcast. So if you want to see it, it is now up.
Where is that up?
On Nikki and Jim NYC on YouTube.
I'm just making sure you get your plugs, baby.
Thank you.
Listen to me. While you're in Oklahoma, why don't you put on your shit, kickers, and kick some shit? Put on your shit, kickers, and kick some shit. Put on your shit. You like when I do that, Jimmy? You smile.
No, I was wishing that you had a mute. Like I accidentally did.
Goodbye, everybody. Jimmy, you got me lightheaded to end this.
All right. Thank you, Amanda Hibas and Michael Ray. Bye, buddy. I'll talk to you Monday.
Good luck with your shows, Jimmy.
Goodbye.
You don't need luck. You're so funny.
Oh, I do need luck. Thanks, Matt.
Goodbye, Jimmy.
That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
X-Go, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
X-Go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.